What's up, Wayfinders, and welcome into Disney My Way, episode number 141. My name is Lightning Lane, ka-chow, and on today's episode, I'm going to be doing a face-off between World Showcase and Future World over at Epcot. It's going to be a fun one, and I hope you guys are excited. But first, we do have some Disney news to go over, starting with the Walt Disney Theater over at Hollywood Studios is currently under refurbishment. So this is the theater that resides in the One Man's Dream exhibit over at Hollywood Studios. And that is basically a museum that walks through some of the things that Walt Disney did throughout his career. They have different models and just artwork from his time. They even have a model of Disneyland, which is really cool. It's not the original model, but it's just an interesting little museum to walk through. But at the end, they have the Walt Disney Theater, where they show either the film One Man's Dream, or they show a preview for an upcoming show or movie. So the last one they previewed there was the Percy Jackson series, and the last movie that they previewed there was Wish. So they show some different things in there from time to time, but this theater really does need some refurbishment because, honestly, the last couple times I've gone in there, it's been really, really crusty and just really kind of gross. And even when it was like, not like summertime level hot, but like, I think I went last March and it was a pretty warm when I went, it was like humid in there. Like it was almost like the AC wasn't even on. So this theater really does need some love shown to it. And I'm hoping they do a similar refurb like they did to Muppet Vision, where they changed out all the seats, updated them, made them look very, very nice. I'm hoping they do that with the theater and hopefully get like the AC working again and all of those things. Now, Disney did add that the film of One Man's Dream will not be changing. So even though they are updating the theater, the One Man's Dream film going over Walt Disney's career will not be changing. That will still be shown in the theater. So we don't know when that will reopen, but we will let you know as soon as we do. Now, next up, we have this. The ice cold hydraulic snack stand that we talked about in our last episode over at Hollywood Studios, it is now officially open for business. So this is the new snack stand that is right across from Muppet Vision in the Muppets Courtyard. And I went over the menu in detail last week, but just as a quick overview, you can get cinnamon rolls, mini churros, frozen slushies, and then traditional snacks like popcorn, cotton candy, and Mickey ice cream products at this snack stand. So this is a new snack stand. If you're interested in trying it out, it's now open and it's right near the Muppet Courtyard over at Hollywood Studios. Next, Disney has filed a permit to demolish the former NBA experience over at Disney Springs. I never went to the NBA experience. I had some friends who did from time to time, and they said it was fun, but I know a lot of people missed Disney Quest, which was used in that building before, and I know that it's never really been like a huge draw for people to go in just because, you know, you're at Disney and you're already spending money a lot of times to go do other things. And at Disney Springs, there's all these shopping areas you can go to and really good restaurants. Sometimes the last thing people wanted to spend money on was doing like a full experience like Disney Quest or the NBA experience. And so these were never like overly popular things, but I am glad that they are taking this away because that's just a big building that has been used for nothing. And I'm hoping with all the success they've had recently with the new shops and restaurants that they've put into Disney Springs, that they'll replace this with something really, really good. So don't be sad. It's going to be, I think Disney Springs has always been on a good track here recently with things they've added. So I feel pretty good that Disney will put something good in its place over there. Next up, by the time this episode drops, Soarin' Over California will now be officially gone from Epcot, and Soarin' Around the World will officially return to the ride. And so I am sad by this news because I love Soarin' Over California. I think it is the superior Soarin' film. But I know a lot of people do have love for Soarin' Around the World because it is different. It is something kind of unique to the one in Florida, because the one in California, obviously, the Soarin' ride there started the whole thing, and they had the California film and all that. It kind of fit with California Adventure. California always seemed like a weird fit in Florida. I don't know. People had many different complaints about it, but I just think Soarin' Over California is just a much more superior experience. I feel like the sights, the smells are just so much better than Around the World, but I love Soarin' nonetheless, so I'll go see it no matter what film is playing. But if you are going to Epcot anytime soon, just know that Soarin' Over California is now officially gone, and it has made way for the return of Soarin' Around the World. Next, Disneyland has announced details for their upcoming Disney Channel Night special event. So this is a special nighttime event happening over at the Disneyland Park on March the 5th and March the 7th. And they have announced specifically some of these things that sound really cool, which is a Descendants musical journey. They're going to have a Disney Channel Rocks concert. They're going to have a High School Musical / Zombies pep rally. They're going to have Camp Rock karaoke and Disney Channel trivia, a Phineas and Ferb dance party, and probably my favorite thing, the character experiences, where you're going to get to meet iconic Disney Channel characters. And I so wish I could go to this, because this sounds awesome. Because you'll get to meet Kim Possible, Lilo Stitch, and it says Experiments. So Lilo Stitch and Experiments. I don't know what other experiments from the show they're going to bring to meet, but that's awesome that they're going to have more than just Lilo and Stitch there to meet. Then you're also going to have Darkwing Duck and Launchpad McQuack. You're going to have Rapunzel and Flynn Rider. You're going to have Huey, Dewey, Louie, and Scrooge McDuck. This is just an awesome lineup of characters that you get to meet that you're just never going to really have a great opportunity outside of this event to meet. Kim Possible, I didn't even know she had a meet and greet. Now, I'm sure it's going to be like a live action, you know, it's not going to be like the animated one where they give, you know, the animated head or whatever. I'm sure it's going to be a real person, which will be a little bit different, but still, meeting Kim Possible is something that would be really, really cool to do. And I just wish I could go. But if you are interested, like I said, that is March 5th and March the 7th, and tickets start at $139 per person. This sounds like a really awesome event. I think Disneyland this year has some really awesome after-hours events, and this is just one of them that I think is going to be super cool. Then finally, Disney announced today, like at the time that we're recording this, some really, really huge news in terms of 2025. So, starting now, you are going to be able to book a Disney World vacation package for all the way up to October of 2025. I'll say that again. Starting right now, in the month of February of 2024, when we're recording this, you are going to be able to book a Walt Disney World vacation all the way out to October of 2025. Y'all, this normally does not happen. Like, this is not a normal thing for Disney to do. They never really allow you to book that far out. It's very, very rare that they allow you to do that. But now they're kind of changing up some things, I guess. And so, if you are interested in going to Disney at all in 2025 between the months of January to October, I would go ahead and get on the phone with your travel agent, whoever, maybe just yourself, and start looking at packages. Start looking at times that you want to go during that time span and try to start working out some details. And if you need some help, Myra would love to help you. Remember, our friend Myra is a travel agent. Her Papa link is in the description of the podcast. You can message her, call her, whatever you need to do to set that up. But again, this is unprecedented. Like, this has not been the case, especially the last couple years. So if you are really and seriously interested in booking a trip for 2025. I think it's always better to start planning a lot sooner than you think you do, because the last thing you want is it to creep up on you and you fall behind. So that's where I'm going to leave that. I'm going to speak my piece on that. But the other cool thing that we learned today about 2025 vacation packages is this. And this is where it is absolutely wild, because I don't ever remember Disney doing something like this. And that is, for guests staying at a Disney World hotel in 2025, you will get a complimentary day at the water parks on your check-in day. That's the fine print. That's what you got to pay attention to. You get a free day to go to either Typhoon Lagoon or Blizzard Beach, but it has to be on your check-in day. Now, like I said, I don't remember Disney ever doing anything like this before, but this is kind of a game changer in terms of how you might plan your Disney vacation. Because if you're going to be there for, let's say, 5 or 6 days, now you might be thinking to yourself, okay, when we check in, maybe instead of buying another park ticket for that, you know, let's say it's a Sunday you get there, instead of buying a park ticket for Sunday, we're just going to use that day to go to the water park since it's free. Then we're going to go to Disney Springs for dinner and hang out for the evening, just kind of take it easy, come back to the hotel, sleep, get ready for the rest of our week. You know, I think that's a viable thing that a lot of people are going to take advantage of now. And it might help you to relax a little bit more on travel, on a travel day, which is already super hectic in itself. The last thing you might want to do is show up and then go to the Magic Kingdom where it may be slammed that day. You know, I think this is going to be really helpful for a lot of people. And, you know, it's going to save you a little bit of money, too, if you take advantage of this. Because instead of paying $140 or something like that to go to Magic Kingdom one day, or I don't know, it may have even gotten up to like near the 200s now. I might be being generous. But instead of paying, you know, $180 to go to Magic Kingdom or Epcot or something like that for the day, and maybe only for half a day, too, instead, you can take advantage of a free alternative, go to the water parks for the day, and then you get to save a little bit of extra cash that you can use towards other experiences during the week. I don't know. I just think this is a really big new thing now, where maybe it's going to encourage you to maybe add an extra day onto your vacation as well, knowing that you're not buying a park ticket that first day. And again, travel days are super hectic. I understand. I kind of hate sometimes pushing myself to the limit to try to get there in time to spend half a day at Hollywood Studios or Epcot or something like that. This is going to be something that I know if I didn't have my annual pass, I would be interested in this. I really would. If I didn't have my annual pass and I couldn't just go to the parks, you know, whenever, I would seriously consider taking advantage of this on my check-in day, because like I said, it just kind of sets me up to have a little bit more of a peaceful day to set me up for the rest of the week, you know, and it saves me some money. So I would highly consider, again, if you're going in 2025, go ahead and start thinking about when you want to go, start trying to plan out those details, but also consider if you want to use this perk. Now, again, I think this benefits the more so the people who are staying 5 or 6 days or longer as compared to somebody who's staying for like 3 or 4. Because I think with a 3 or 4 day stay, especially a 3 day stay, I think most of the time you want to maximize your time to the fullest. So you may not want to go to the water park, even if it's free, because you want to take the advantage and use the time to go to the parks, to go to Magic Kingdom, Animal Kingdom, you know, whatever you want to do. You might want to maximize that. But for those who are staying longer, I think this is an extra perk because you get a little bit, you have a little bit more flexibility with your time. You know, you have a little bit more room in the schedule to say, yeah, you know what, we can go to Blizzard Beach on the Monday we arrive, because we got the whole rest of the week to do the other parks. So I don't know. I think this is an interesting perk that Disney's throwing out. And I don't know if this is a sign of things to come, but hopefully we're going to get back to the days where it benefited you to stay on property, where it was a plus to stay at a Walt Disney World Resort hotel. Because that's been the biggest complaint of guests for the last 4 years, is that there's no more perks to staying at a Disney resort that benefit as much as they did pre-COVID. There's no more Magical Express. There's very limited park hour extras anymore. You know, if you're not at a deluxe resort, you don't get the extra magic hours in the evening, and your extra magic hours in the morning is only a 30-minute early access window. It's just different. But I think if we can start adding more perks in like this, it's going to bring us back to the days where it's a benefit to stay on property again. And I kind of hope that that's the direction we're going in. But I'll just leave that there. That is all the news we have for today, though. So I'm going to take a quick pause, and then I'm going to come back, and we're going to do our face-off of Future World versus World Showcase. Hey there, Disney fans. Are you ready to immerse your home in some of your favorite scents from the Disney parks? Well, look no further than Magic Candle Company, our podcast magical partner. Transform your space with handcrafted candles that capture the essence of Disney parks, resorts, and even classic attractions. From the sweet scent of Main Street USA to the adventurous aroma of Pirates of the Caribbean, Magic Candle Company brings the magic to you. Visit magiccandlecompany.com and use the code DMW for a 15% off discount on your order. That's right, use the code DMW at checkout for a 15% off discount on your order. Illuminate your world with the magic of Disney. Brought to you by the Magic Candle Company and the Disney My Way podcast. Okay, so the last time I did a face-off series, I did it with Adventureland and Tomorrowland. I faced them off against each other, and Adventureland ended up taking the victory 3-1. And that one was a really interesting one because there was a lot of categories I felt like Adventureland won that I wasn't expecting it to. And so I decided to go back to that series today and do World Showcase versus Future World. Now, Future World is no longer called Future World. It's split up into different parts: World Nature, World Discovery, things like that. But for the sake of the face-off series, I thought it'd be better just to clump those together with Future World, as it used to be called, and World Showcase, since that's literally the split down the middle with Epcot. And so I thought that would be fun just to do Epcot as a whole and get it all out of the way in one swoop. So our categories that we're going to be going through today are rides, food, atmosphere, traffic flow, and then a new one that I just added for this one that we're going to use moving forward is importance to the park. And I'll explain that one when we get to it. So we're going to start with rides. And obviously what hurts World Showcase in this category the most is that it really doesn't have a whole lot of rides. If we were just comparing this based off of the numbers, then Future World would easily trump World Showcase in this category. But the thing is World Showcase's rides, while yes, are few in number, they also have two of the heaviest hitters in the park. They have Frozen Ever After and Remy's Ratatouille Adventure. Two rides where you're talking about lightning lanes for them are gone almost instantly sometimes in the morning, especially during peak times. They usually sell out of lightning lanes at least by the mid-afternoon at the latest, you know. And then you have them also having high wait times throughout the day most of the time. And then on most mornings, that's where most people are running to for rope drop. They are rushing to get to either Remy's or to Frozen. Those are usually the top two things that people's on the top of people's list to do for rope drop at Epcot. And so because of that, World Showcase now actually makes up a ton of ground in this category because you have two very, very popular attractions already going for you. But then we switch it over to the Future World side. And the Future World side features Soarin', which is a tier one level attraction according to our podcast. Spaceship Earth, which is a tier one level attraction according to our podcast. You have Test Track, which we don't consider, I think, to be a tier one attraction on our podcast, but it's still a pretty heavy hitter. It's a roller coaster type attraction. It's a thrill attraction, I guess, is the best way to put it. So you have a thrill ride there. You have all these smaller rides too, like Living with the Land, which is one of my personal favorites. You have Journey into Imagination with Figment. You have a ton of little rides to go do, but then you also have like the cream of the crop, the ride to beat all other rides, and the top of almost everybody's ride list that I've ever seen, including ours here on the podcast, and that's Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind. Future World literally hosts the best ride of the entire Walt Disney World property on it. Like, it literally has that ride going for it on its side. And so at the end of the day, while World Showcase definitely makes a big case to be considered here for this category, I have to give it to Future World because Guardians alone is enough, in my opinion, to wash out those two big rides. And World Showcase also has the Grand Fiesta Tour boat ride in Mexico, which is another personal favorite of mine, but it's still not enough to add any kind of real over-the-top value to the World Showcase side, you know? Not when you have the best ride on property right across the street. And then on top of that, you have Soarin', Spaceship Earth, and all these other rides that I just listed. When you factor all those things together, Future World easily takes the win, not because of numbers, but because of the quality of the rides on its side. So, Future World takes the first category, but that's okay, because the next category we have coming up, again, is a little unfair, but it's food. And so, if you guys have ever been to Epcot before, you can probably already guess where this one is going to, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time beating around the bush. Obviously, World Showcase takes the food category easily. You think about all of the incredible restaurants that Epcot has, especially on the World Showcase side. I mean, you have Le Cellier, which is still by far my favorite steak that I've ever had on property, is over at Le Cellier. Le Cellier is incredible. If you've never been there before, you have to put it on your bucket list to try at least once. You have a personal favorite of the podcast, which is Spice Road Table over in Morocco, that we love. It is a hidden gem restaurant for sure. Even to this day, it is still a hidden gem restaurant that you have to go try at least once. Chefs de France, which I ate at last time I was there. Excellent meal. You have a great quick service location in Regal Eagle, which again, it's just unfair that Epcot has great, you know, quick service restaurants at it, because you could put those in any other park and they'd be fantastic. I would love for Regal Eagle to move to Magic Kingdom in Liberty Square. Like, that would be incredible if Magic Kingdom got a Regal Eagle. But no, it's at Epcot, which is already blessed with food. You have Tutto Italia Ristorante in Via Napoli over in Italy, which are both fantastic. I've eaten at both of those before, and I thought they were amazing. And then on top of that, you have all the festival booths. You have festival booths that are rotating through for the multitude of festivals almost all year round. You have the food and wine, which is obviously the peak of it all, but you have great food that comes in for the Festival of the Arts. You have great food that comes in for the Flower and Garden Festival. You have some incredible lineups of food that come through the food booths all year round. And so, of course, World Showcase is going to easily win this category just because it's just not even fair. It just has the best restaurants in it. But I will say this for Future World's case. I think Future World used to have a really good restaurant in Sunshine Seasons down in the Land Pavilion, right across from Soarin' and Living with the Land. That used to be a very unique quick service restaurant where you could get some different stuff. You know, you didn't have to get a burger and fries or chicken nuggets and fries or whatever. You could get some different things for a good price, usually pretty shareable portions. And it was good food. It was good quality food. But unfortunately, over the last couple of years, Sunshine Seasons has really dropped in quality. And honestly, I don't see a whole lot of people eating from the restaurant anymore. But because there's so much seating down there in that area, a lot of people will ride Soarin' and ride Living with the Land and then eat their lunch or dinner or whatever there because of how much seating is available. And so Sunshine Seasons falling off really badly already kind of puts it in a deficit. But on top of that, you don't have a whole lot of options in Future World to eat. Because outside of Sunshine Seasons, you really only have the Connections Cafe and Connections Eatery. Now, Connections Eatery, I think, is one of the top quick service places on property. And again, it's a shame that it's in Epcot, which is already incredibly blessed with all the food. But Connections Eatery is very, very good, but it's not enough to go up against the giants that you have in World Showcase. And so, of course, World Showcase takes this category. And there's other options that I didn't even list there that I haven't been to, but people love. And so because of that, like, this is an easy, easy win for World Showcase. And so we're tied up. We have rides going to Future World, food going to World Showcase, which now brings us to Atmosphere. And I'll say this, my view on Epcot has really changed over the last couple of years. Epcot used to be a park that I really didn't want to stay at all day. When I was younger, I either wanted us to leave Epcot after we had been there in the morning, or I was okay with us hopping to Epcot later in the day. But I didn't want to spend all day at Epcot. As an adult now, though, I love Epcot, and I love being at Epcot all day. And no, it's not because, you know, as you get older, you know, for a lot of people, it's because once you get older, you can actually really enjoy Epcot for what it is, because you can go drinking around the world, you know, getting, you know, beverages that you wouldn't normally find anywhere else, you know, where you're from, you can get at Epcot, and it's a unique experience. I don't partake in that, so that doesn't appeal to me. But what I do like as an adult going to Epcot is that, A, it just feels a lot more relaxing to be at Epcot, I think, than any other park, because there's so much space to walk around in. There's so much to see and do. And it's constantly, with the multiple festivals, always changing to where you're not always just looking at the same thing. To me, as an adult, it's just much more appealing because I feel like I just have a lot more of a relaxed day at Epcot than I do at any of the other parks. But with that being said, I think the atmosphere of these parks are both equally really, really good, especially considering that they're both really good to visit during the day and at night. I think World Showcase is a ton of fun to walk around in during the day and in the evening, especially when they get the torchlights going for the fireworks show. You do have the nighttime show, which is always on the World Showcase side in the World Showcase Lagoon, which is always some really cool vibes. I like seeing the different countries all lit up at night. Like, France is always really fun to go through at night. I like going through Italy at night. You know, there's just different areas that are really fun to visit in World Showcase in the evening. And the same with Future World. Future World, you have the Imagination Pavilion, which lights up and is really cool to see. The Journey of Water attraction is a ton of fun to go visit at night because you're walking through and you're just seeing all the lights, and then seeing Te Fiti at night with Spaceship Earth right behind it is really, really cool. And I just love the, and I love the new area in Future World that they just tore down the walls to, because now you get to see that whole area, and at night it lights up and looks really, really cool. So there's just a lot of different layers to both sides of the park. But at the end of the day, the deciding factor for me with this category is there something that just is so defining when it comes to the atmosphere, the vibes, that really just makes me happy and enjoying my time there, that sets it above the rest? And for me, there is. And that is having Spaceship Earth on the Future World side. Because Spaceship Earth, both during the day and at night, is just absolutely captivating. Like, Spaceship Earth, almost more than any of the other park icons, is just one that you just marvel at. From, like, the moment you walk in to the moment you leave, it's like you just can't take your eyes off of Spaceship Earth. And now, Cindy's Castle is also great and is also kind of like that. Your eyes are constantly kind of fixated on it. But I don't know. Spaceship Earth is just completely different. The Epcot ball just is constantly something that you just, your gaze is almost just transfixed on it the whole time, especially with the crystal fountain in the front. But the new lighting package that they put on Spaceship Earth for the 50th anniversary, I think took it to a whole different level. Like, that's what set this over the top. Spaceship Earth has always been a park icon that I've loved, because I always felt like it was beautiful to look at night, and I always felt like it was awesome to see during the day. But with the new lighting package and the new lighting shows, that just sends it way over the moon. And literally, it is just so, so cool to see it now at night. And it definitely changes the whole vibe for me with Future World. When I'm walking around Future World at night and I see the Epcot ball all lit up, it just literally, I won't say it brings a tear to my eye, but it does just bring my joy factor to sky high levels, especially with the monorail going around. I mean, it's just almost perfect. And it's almost just like the perfect setting, you know? And so that, in my mind, is what elevates this and gives Future World the win for the atmosphere category. Again, the vibes on both sides of the park are absolutely amazing during both the day and the night. But I just think at the end of the day, when you have the Epcot ball, which is just such a literally big icon for not just Epcot, but for Disney as a whole. When a lot of people think of Disney World, they don't just think of Cindy's Castle. A lot of times they also think of the Epcot ball, because that's just the second icon that they made that was just so cool. And then I think after that you go, you know, probably Tree of Life and then Tower of Terror, if you're thinking about it in your mind. But the Epcot ball is just so iconic. I think that's just what elevates the vibes of Future World to a win here. So Future World is now in the lead. We got a 2-1 lead for Future World, which now brings us to Traffic Flow, which is a very interesting category, because at one point in time, I would have said that this might have been an easy win for World Showcase. Because with all of the construction walls up in Future World, it was a nightmare trying to get around there. And it was exhausting. But with the middle area now opened up, you have a whole lot of more space to work with. And World Showcase, you know, it's very good too. I mean, it's just a big open walkway around the lagoon. I mean, it's pretty much as simple as that. So both sides of the park offer you ample space to walk. Like I said earlier, when I'm at Epcot, I never really feel like I'm just on top of people all the time. You know, like Magic Kingdom, I feel like I'm constantly surrounded by people. At Hollywood Studios at times, I feel like I'm just constantly surrounded by people. Outside of Animal Kingdom, I think Epcot's got some of the best park spacing of all of them. But that being said, I think the detriments to both sides are you still have some construction walls up at Future World, which means you have, you know, opportunities that are going to be missed to have fast travel to certain places, because now you have to work yourself around the walls. It will bottleneck a little bit going between the Imagination Pavilion going towards where you go to the walkway to the World Showcase area, either by going in that little kind of side walkway where you go straight into the turn to go right to go to Canada, or if you make your way over to the big open walkway where you go right into the middle of World Showcase and you can either choose to go left to Mexico or to go right towards Canada. And so either way, though, you do bottleneck a little bit there. But other than that, you know, it's pretty open in Future World. And in World Showcase, while it's pretty open, you do have some bottleneck areas. Mexico, for some reason, gets really tight at the beginning. Like when you first kind of walk through Mexico, you kind of get like in a bad bottleneck area right there. And then it kind of opens up a little bit. And you pretty much have a free run straight forward the rest of the time. But you also kind of have a bottleneck in like the UK area a little bit sometimes. It's kind of weird how it'll bottleneck in certain places on World Showcase, but not in others. But I will say this, and this is where I'm going to go with this. I think at the end of the day, World Showcase is prone to more traffic jams than Future World is. Because you also have the bridge in World Showcase that will come up sometimes. They can raise that bridge up to allow barges to come through to set up things for the nighttime show. And so because of that, you have certain times of the day where that is up. And I've been caught in that before. And it's like, well, now I have a difficult decision to make. Do I wait and just let them drop the barges or drop the bridge back down and then go when I've got a ton of people on both sides waiting to go and we're going to be in a huge traffic jam? Or do I make the difficult decision to go all the way back around and try to get to the other side of World Showcase? And so that can be a little bit annoying sometimes. But again, I also feel like there's just so many areas where you just get bottlenecked in the World Showcase more than you do in Future World. And so I'm going to give this category to Future World, because at the end of the day, while there is some tight areas you got to navigate through in Future World, I think it's way more spread out and much more easy to just kind of stay in your own space on the Future World side of the park than it is the World Showcase part. So Future World takes that category. It's now up 3-1. Looks like Future World's going to get the win here, but we are going to go to importance to the park. So when I was making this category, here's my thought process going into it. If you were to take either one of these sides of the park out, would it affect the general public's enjoyment of the park? So, you know, for the Adventureland Tomorrowland one, since we didn't talk about it, you know, if I took out Adventureland, would people really miss it? You know, would people really be sad if Adventureland was gone? Or would people be more sad if we took out Tomorrowland? And in my opinion, if we were to go back to that first episode I did of the Face Off series, honestly, I would have probably said if you took out Tomorrowland, there would be more people upset than if you took out Adventureland. Because Tomorrowland now hosts Tron, Space Mountain, the People Mover, which has become a cult favorite of Disney adults. I think a lot more people would have a lot more problems with them taking out Tomorrowland than Adventureland. Now, that's just my opinion, but I think because Adventureland, yes, it has Jungle Cruise and it has pirates, and a lot of people love that, you know, stuff. There's also things like the Tiki Room that people are really kind of split on in terms of their enjoyment, and the Carpets of Aladdin and the Swiss Family Robinson Treehouse, which really don't garner a whole lot of traffic a whole lot of the times. And I just don't think people would miss it as much as they would Tomorrowland. So now we're here at Epcot in importance to the park. What would make more people sad if we took out Future World or if we took out World Showcase. And I can see both sides being pretty equal on this one. Because for World Showcase, that's a reason why a lot of the adults come to Epcot. Because you get to try different foods from around the world. You get to try different drinks from around the world. And for a lot of people, that's why they want to go to Epcot. They want to get a different cultural experience that you can't find really anywhere else. And World Showcase makes Epcot super unique because you can learn about different cultures. You know, these other parks, you know, you don't get as much of that. In Animal Kingdom, yes, you learn a little bit more of the culture of Africa and Asia a little bit, but not as much as you do with Epcot. And then as for Future World, obviously you have Spaceship Earth, which, like I said, is one of the most iconic park icons at Disney World, one that a ton of people, including myself, adore. And I think a lot of people would be obviously sad if you took that park icon away. You also have Guardians of the Galaxy, which is one of the best rides on property. And I think people would be sad if you took that away from them. I also believe you got another cult favorite in Living with the Land that people would be sad if you took that away. You know, I think both sides, especially because Future World was kind of what was the inspiration for the park in the first place, because Walt was always about, you know, trying new technologies, seeing how technology could help people to progress forward. I think Epcot in a lot of ways envisions what Walt wanted Epcot originally to be. But at the end of the day, for me, I think I have to give this category to World Showcase. Because while Future World is really neat, and Spaceship Earth is iconic, and Guardians of the Galaxy is so cool, I think World Showcase is what makes Epcot one of the most unique parks, not just at Disney, but anywhere. I think there's a reason why so many people are always excited when they travel to Florida for the first time from different countries or even just from here in the United States. I think why people are always so excited to go to Epcot is because of how unique the park is. And I think that's because of World Showcase. Because you get to experience these cultures in a very authentic way too. Because they oftentimes, the people that are working at the country pavilions are from that country. They're from Canada. They're from France. They're from Mexico. They're from Japan. They're from the places that they're working at. And so they bring an authenticity to these pavilions that you just don't get anywhere else. And look, I'm not trying to say that, like, again, Spaceship Earth is not important. This is probably the toughest category of this list because I think both sides of this park equal up to one super unique theme park that's hard to beat. But I just think at the end of the day, if you just had Future World, it wouldn't be as significant as if you had World Showcase. And yes, World Showcase isn't going to be able to carry the whole park with only two real rides. I understand that. But again, I think if you just had Future World, it almost is just like every other theme park. You have some rides. You have some really good attractions. You got a, you know, a couple decent places to eat, and it's a good park. It's a great park. But I think with World Showcase, you get such a unique experience. And that's what Disney's all about, right? Is you're not just going to go to a theme park. You know, you can go to a Six Flags to ride rides. You can go to, you know, a Carowinds or to a King's Island to go ride rides. You can do that. You can just go easily drop everything and go there, ride rides all day. Going to Disney is about the experience of going to Disney World. And to me, World Showcase is kind of the embodiment of what Disney is trying to do with their parks, which is to create something so unique that you can't get it anywhere else in the world. And that's what World Showcase is. And so to me, if you took World Showcase out, Epcot is not the same. And it's a completely different vibe. And I think it's more important to that park and to the significance of that park than it is Future World. So I'm going to give that one to World Showcase. But in the end, Future World does win our overall face-off with a 3-2 victory in this one. So if you are a World Showcase fan, I'm sorry, you didn't win this one. But I hope you understand that I do think both sides of these parks are equally as cool as the other. And I think this was probably one of the toughest face-off series we're going to have in this whole series of shows that will drop from time to time. Because I think just Epcot as a whole has become such a uniquely amazing park. So if you disagree with me, that's fine. Let me know. Follow us on Instagram at Disney My Way Podcast. Let me know what you think. If you completely disagree with me, that's totally fine. I'd love to have you on and debate it sometime. But please give us a follow, a like, a subscribe. Please share this episode with your friends. We'd love to keep growing our Wayfinder community. And until next time, I hope you guys have a magical rest of your day. And we'll talk to you again real soon.